What I'd like to talk about is a very important lesson of the Beis Halevi that he writes on this week's Parsha. And in order to fully appreciate what he says, let us begin with the Medrash in Sefer Mishle. The Pasuk writes in Sefer Mishle, Yad liyad lo yinakei ra. What does it mean that one hand to another will not exonerate, will not whitewash something that is bad? What exactly is that a reference to? Writes the Medrash. Bo re'ei, Shtei yadayim yesh lo la'adam. A human being has two hands, as we know. Im gonev ba'achas, v'nosein tzedakah ba'acheres. If I steal money with this hand, and then with the other hand, so to speak, I give tzedakah, I give charity, lo yinakei, don't think that that will whitewash, that will absolve you of the wrongdoing that you have done. If somebody stole money, they have an obligation to give it back. If somebody wants to give charity, they must make sure, says the Medrash, that the charity that they are planning to give is money that is rightfully theirs. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya, Simen Reish Mem Ches, Siv Dalid, where the Mechaber writes very, very clearly that we do not accept money from an Eved. What do we have against an Eved? How come an Eved who wants to contribute to a charity is not able to? Because we have an assumption, and it's a strong assumption, says the Mechaber, that most of the money that the Eved has is probably stolen. Why do we think so negatively about an Eved? So the understanding probably is that in those days, obviously it doesn't really translate into our generation today, we don't really have Avadim, and it doesn't mean that the cleaning girl who works in your house is probably stealing money. That is not the assumption here, but the Rama and the Mechaber are assuming that if you have a person who's living a kind of lifestyle that's not a becoming lifestyle where they are a regular contributing member of society in the business world, so then we have to assume that they're probably not so careful about money that they have, and therefore we, as an institution, should not accept money from them because we assume that it is probably stolen. And this is really quoted from the Gemara Maseches Baba Kama, Kuf Yud Gimel, where the Gemara says there, the same kind of idea, that if we have an assumption that there's somebody who stole money, and now they are justifying that stealing by assuming that if they give it to charity, they will be okay, says the Gemara, we do not accept that because it will not compensate. It will not be able to redeem them or rectify whatever it is that they may have done. So the Beis Halevi has an amazing comment in the opening words of this week's Parsha. Daber al b'nei Yisrael. We're told in this week's Parsha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the instructions after Kabbalah HaTorah that we should go and build a Mishkan. It's not clear in Chazal exactly what this is about. Rashi on Chumash has one shot. Other Mefarshim say something else. It seems if you look in some sources in Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wanted a place where he can have an opportunity to reside his Shechina in the world, and he wanted us to connect with him, and therefore we have to build a Beis HaMikdash. Rashi on Chumash quotes the other member of Chazal, which is that perhaps this is to atone for the Chet HaEgel, they did something wrong, and therefore they had to undo it by building a Mishkan. Not clear exactly what the Mishkan is all about, but either way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he wanted everyone to contribute in the building of the Mishkan. And the Torah starts, V'yikhuli truma, which is a strange terminology. It should be V'yitnuli, all the Mefarshim ask, why does it say V'yikhu? But either way, the understanding is that kol ish asher yidveno libo, anybody who has a warm heart and wants to feel a part of this beautiful building, tikhu es trumasi, they should be involved in the gathering of the money. Says the Beis Halevi, an astute observation, Hine ba parshazu achare parshas mishpatim. Halo davar, says the Beis Halevi, isn't it interesting that the parsha of building the Mishkan of Truma comes right after Parshas Mishpatim? Why? Debetchila kodem sheyasa ha'adam tzedakah b'mamono, because before a person engages in giving charity from their funds, from their money, first, before you even do that, tzarech liro shelo yiyah b'mamono chashash gezel. The first thing one needs to be careful about is to make sure that all the money that they have in their bank account is rightfully theirs. Only once I've accounted for the money that I have, and I know that I haven't stolen, I know I haven't been dishonest in business, I know that everything is really mine, and I am deserving of this money, then can I think about v'yikhuli truma. Deim lo kein, if you don't first understand the laws of mishpatim, the laws of ben adam lachavero, the laws of how an employer is supposed to work for his employee, of how he's allowed to take a paycheck for the time that he works, and how if he's playing around on the computer, he's stealing money from his employer, we assume that im lo kein ein hatstaka mo elas lo klal. Do not think that by then, later on going and giving charity and being a charitable individual, that you're going to now undo all of the terrible things you've done by taking the money that you weren't supposed to. After all, he says, we have a concept of mitzvah haba ba'avera. mitzvah haba ba'avera, he says, is not something that applies only to a lulav hagazel, like the Gemara says. Somebody steals a lulav or an eserig, you cannot use it because it doesn't belong to you. But that applies, he says, to all mitzvahs. If you go ahead and you steal money and then you think that you're going to use that money to give charity, that is not going to work. And then he says, this is perhaps what the Navi means when it says, shimru mishpat, ve'asu tzedakah. It's a famous pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya where he says, you should first make sure that you are shimru mishpat, and then va'asu tzedakah. So obviously the simple understanding of the pasuk is, a person should make sure that they are okay, ben adam l'chaveru, and then asu tzedakah, you should go above and beyond and do other great things as well. But on top of that, says the Beis HaLevi, maybe it means exactly this point. Shimru mishpat, the first thing one needs to do, the prerequisite before giving tzedakah is shimru mishpat. Make sure that you look after all the mishpatim, all the laws that govern all of our interactions with other human beings. Make sure, if you damage somebody else's car in the parking lot, you cannot just drive off, even though they may not notice. It is your responsibility. That is ben adam l'chaveru, that is mishpatim. You're going to go later on because you feel guilty and you're going to give charity because you think it's going to undo what you've done. That doesn't undo anything. And therefore, he says, this is something that is so important to keep in mind. Rav Moshe has a very powerful tshuva where he writes, in Chelek Choshe Mishpat, Chelek Bei Simen Chavtes, where he talks about the idea that there are some yeshivas who believe that they have a right to take advantage or to cheat the government programs that they have been afforded. And Rav Moshe is discussing this here, and he says that in his opinion, he thinks this is absolutely off limits, not permissible at all, and he explains his position. Number one, he says, when we talk about this allocation of money that any particular Jewish institution may be worthy of getting from the government, he says, number one, we have to keep in mind that we live in America. And he says in America, Shehashem Yisbarach Barachamav HaMerubim Al Sheres HaPleita MiYehudi Kol Medinas Europa. He says, when the Ribono Shel Olam worked it out, Bahashkacha, that we should come to America after the Holocaust, and so many Jews have a comfortable place to live, Usheres Gedoli Yisrael V'Tamideim Heviu Lekan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that we should have an establishment of so many yeshivas and so many shuls and so many bustling Jewish communities. He writes, after that, the Malchus Shel Chesed Zu, this very kind and generous government in which we now live, Kol Matarasu Lehetiv L'chol Toshavei HaMedina. We are fortunate in the fact that we live in a country where they want to do good for all of the citizens. Now, you might not always agree what is the greater good, but the general perspective is that the job of the president and the government is to do good for all of the citizens of this country. And therefore, he says, if that is the country that we inhabit, and therefore, because of that, they have decided to allocate money for lunch programs, to allocate money for certain programs in a school, says R. Moshe Feinstein. Then you're going to go later on. I had another trouble here trying to understand this word, because R. Moshe transliterated an English word into Hebrew, programin. So he says, if you're going to have a program, and this is funded by the government, and then you're going to turn around and say, no, we have more kids in the school than we really have, and you justify it. Why do you justify it? Because, obviously, I'm not going to steal the money. I'm not taking it for myself. I'm going to put it back into the pot that we should be able to pay another Rebbe in the morning to do this. We're going to pay for that. We're going to pay for something else. It's going to go toward the children's education. I'm not just stealing from the government for my own good, for my own purposes. Says Rav Moshe, what right do we think that we have to do such a thing? And then he says that he thinks we have to be very careful about that. He then goes further and says that there are many very wonderful Jews who think that as long as they bribe or sweet talk the people who are in charge, they have a right to do to go around the system. And he says that also is not permissible, not just if you go behind their backs, but even if you sweet talk them into doing something that you know is not really legal, that you know is not really right. It is also something that we need to stay away from. And he says it's very clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sone b'tmichas haTorah v'lomdeh ayidei gezel. The Ribono Shel Olam will not have a proud feeling. He will not have nachas ruach when he sees that a yeshiva is stealing money, even though they have the best of intentions, and even though nobody's walking away with all of that money. But says Rav Moshe, this is something we need to be careful about. He then goes further on to say that when we think about this issue, we also need to be concerned not only about the administration of any Jewish institution doing this on their own, but he says if we know that there is somebody who's giving money to our institution, and that person who's donating, who's giving us, not really my business, but he says, If all of us know that that person is a dishonest person in business and the money that they're giving may not be rightfully theirs, says Rav Moshe, we need to be concerned about that as well. That is not something that we have a right to say, oh, it's his problem, he's going to have to do tshuva. No, Rav Moshe says, if we know about it, we're going to have to do tshuva because we have no right to be misayeh lidei over avera. And Rav Moshe writes that perhaps by this person giving the money, they assume that that's going to be the tshuva process. That's going to be the kapara, because they may have stolen from one place, now they're giving it to somewhere else. But Rav Moshe says that is not an even trade-off. That is not something that one has the right to make a decision about. And this is discussed as well in the Ramchal, in the Mesilas Yesharim, where he says that if a person is involved in these kinds of activities, afilu asa mitzvah bizman melachto, lo litzdaka techashevlo, he says, let's say you have a person who works for an employer. And he says, sometimes we don't think about Geneva in that context. You say, well, obviously, if I go to someone's house and I steal an item, that's Geneva. If I go to someone's house and I see a wallet on the floor and I take the money out, that's real Geneva. But says the Mesilas Yesharim, sometimes we don't really consider how much it is Geneva when we have an understanding for working for some kind of employer and we are not following the rules of what is allowed, what is not allowed. I remember when I was in the White Shul, we used to have a Thursday afternoon Parsha conference call at 12 o'clock. And there was somebody who had an office in the neighborhood, and a lot of people used to call in, and I would do it every week. It was a 10-15 minute call. And somebody in the neighborhood who ran a local office asked me to please stop. So I said, what am I doing wrong? What can possibly be wrong with having a parsha shir on the phone that people are calling in? It's a beautiful thing Thursday afternoon. And she said, the problem is, everybody who works in my office takes off right in the middle of the day. We have a very busy office, and they stop for 15 minutes to go call into your line. So again, I said, that's not a reason for us to stop our shir. You maybe should have a talk with your employers that they should be a little more respectful of the rules and they shouldn't be calling on the phone and just checking out for 15 minutes in the middle of the day without telling anyone. But at the same time, I do appreciate and I do value the position that she was saying, that one has to realize that just because you don't see that there's a physical change of property from mine to yours, nothing exchanged from my house to your house, I didn't take anything from you, but that also, writes in Mesilas Yesharim, is something that we need to be very careful about. And that is why in Choshen Mishpat it says very clearly that there are rules that govern the interactions between an employer and an employee. So somebody told me today, obviously in an office building where they all have computers, it's understood, and the employer understands that every once in a while you are going to check your personal email, and every once in a while you are going to stop working to text somebody back. That's the nature of business today. That's the nature of our lives today. So maybe the understanding is different, but we have to make sure we do understand it. If you have somebody who's just sitting all day and scrolling through all kinds of things that they're not supposed to be doing because they have no relation at all to the work that they're supposed to be doing, that, says the Mesilas Yesharim, is something we need to think about as well. And then he writes, if you take that money and you think that with the money that you took, you're going to do a mitzvah, he says, lo litzdaka techashev lo, don't think that that is going to whitewash everything that was done. Ela avera hi biyado, says the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, this is the same avera as it always was. Let's call it for what it is. It's lo signo, and it makes no difference what happens later on. What has to be rectified is that a person only takes what it is that they're supposed to deserve, what they're supposed to be taking. Anything outside of that is totally off limits, is totally out of bounds. And later on, says the Beis HaLevi, you cannot be involved in v'yikuli truma if you don't first understand the parsha of ve'ela ha'mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem.